Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
So today, we're going to start something that I don't know that I've ever done. We're going to start a series today called Money Matters. And I don't see this series ending until the end of 2022. Now, here's the caveat. We are not going to do this series every week. In fact, you will not know when we're doing this series. Just in case the subject or topic of this series offends you in such a way that you would skip being here, you will not know when we're doing Money Matters. So next week we may or may not be in our series Money Matters, okay? And so I think I have some a great revelation today to share with you on the matter. You know, money does matter. It matters a lot. So much so that Jesus talked about money and the subject of money more than any other subject. So if you don't like it, well, talk to Jesus, because he talked about it more than any other subject. And it matters. Money matters. There are matters to money, and matter actually matters. Okay? It matters because a lot of good can be done with money, and a lot of bad can be done with money. Right? And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the power of it. We're going to talk about how to have more money flow through you, not just to you, but through you during this series. We're going to talk about the wisdom of money. We're going to talk about how to get set free from money, because money has enslaved many people, and many of God's people are enslaved in it. Jesus said that many would go astray because of money. Many would be shipwrecked in their faith because of money. Now here's the deal. I want nobody, and Jesus wants nobody, shipwrecked because of their faith. And so we're going to look at one of the first principles or teachings and stories that relate to money. And it's in Genesis chapter 4, so you can turn there. Genesis chapter 4, really easy. It's right at the beginning of the book. Genesis 4 chapters in, that's where we'll go. The ushers have locked the doors. And those online, please don't run, leave, stay here. You're going to enjoy this. And we're going to make you laugh a few times. We may make you cry as well, but I'm kidding, the doors are not locked. That would be illegal, okay? Even if I wanted to do it. Okay, no. But I was going to entitle the message, Don't Be a Cain. Okay? Don't be a Cain, and you're going to see how clever that was in a moment. But instead, I've chosen to entitle today, Don't Worry, Be Blessed. Don't worry, be blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? For sure, it involves being happy. But not only happy. And I'd say this, God is not against your happiness. He just wants more than just your happiness. He wants you to grow and mature. He wants you to have purpose. Okay? Without purpose, your happiness won't last very long. And doesn't that feel good? Kind of loosen you up. Those of you who are all tense when I said I'm going to talk about money, right now you can just let go of your wallet. It's okay. Right? Just be happy. Okay? Enjoy. Don't you just see yourselves right now like on an island, sunset, you know, drinking a pina colada, virgin, of course. Okay? Just be happy. I considered just replaying this, my entire sermon. I thought it would just ease everything I'm about to tell you. It would help the medicine go down a little bit easier. but that's enough. Okay, Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 is where we'll begin. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Let's pray. Father, don't let us be Cains. Father, I ask that your word, Jesus, would do its work. That I would rightly divide it and share it, preach it, unashamed, without fear, with compassion, with love. Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts and minds to receive the instructions God wants to give us, which are always to give us a hope and a future. To lead us to the blessed life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, why did God accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? There's been quite a bit of debate and discussion and disagreement of why he did. At first glance, it may not be super clear why. Was it what was being offered? Maybe. Or was it something else? Does God not accept grain offerings? Does he? Well, how would we know? Well, a good place to find out is the Bible. And the Bible clearly teaches that grain offerings were acceptable. In fact, they were commanded. So maybe it wasn't the grain. How can we really know? Because the passage itself doesn't really tell us in itself. And this is moments that you come across passages that you're not super clear and understand like what it is. And you could say, Jesus or Holy Spirit, what was it? And he could reveal it to you, but that could be debated, right? Because I could say the Holy Spirit said this to me about that, and this is why God accepted Abel's and not Cain's. And you could say, well, the Holy Spirit told me this. Now, in some situations in scriptures, it could actually both be true. Okay? And you're seeing it from a different perspective. But the best place to go to understand the scripture is the scripture. See, scripture interprets scripture. So one place in scripture you come across something and you go, I'm not sure exactly what God is saying here. Well then, keep going in the scripture and let the scripture help you bring light to what it's saying. And so in this case, instead of me telling you my opinions and maybe my interpretation of what I think's going on, why don't we let the Scripture tell us what's going on? Are you okay with that this morning? To find out, why was Abel's offering accepted and Cain's not? Now understand this about the offering. Offerings are an act of worship. And I definitely want you today to know this about your giving. That when you give, you're worshiping God. You're worshiping Him. And I appreciate our technology. Do you know that I think 9 out of 10 or maybe almost up to 95% of our church gives online other than on even Sunday? And so that's awesome, but it's also a thing that you can forget you're doing. And I don't want you to forget that. That's one of the reasons why we pass the offering bag. One, to receive praise reports and, you know, the connect cards, because we want to connect with people, and prayer requests, but also because we want to remind you of what you've already done. That it is an act of worship. That's why you may not even catch this. Pastor Cruz or Pastor Kevin or Pastor Julie or myself, we say now we're going to continue in worship through giving. It's an act of worship. When you give, you are worshiping God. Okay, it's an act of worship, and I don't want you to miss that because it's important. Because where your treasure is where your heart will go. So if the treasure and your money never goes toward God, I'm sorry, but the Scripture, not me, tells me your heart isn't toward God. Because your heart follows your treasure. So I just wanted to point that this practice that was passed on from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel was something they did. They worshiped God with offerings. It's an act of worship. So I want you to remember that. So even if you gave Wednesday because that's when you got your paycheck and you wanted to be first, which is awesome, Sunday, remember that you gave. That you gave it to Him. Amen? Okay. So, where can we find the interpretation of and the reason for why Abel's was accepted and not Cain's? Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I love it. And I'm going to begin in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible, or were not made of things which were visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Then verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what does Hebrews 11 tell us about Abel's offering? It was better. Why? Because of his faith. Abel did it by faith. But how would we know from the story that he did it by faith? I mean, how could we come to that conclusion? How could we know? Because many would say, well, Abel's was accepted because it was an animal and there was blood that was shed. And we know through the shedding of blood that our sins are covered. And ultimately through the lamb that was set out to be slaughtered for us, Jesus, all of our sins would be forgiven, right? So you could go, well, it was because of that. But again, like we said, God accepted grain offerings. He accepted other offerings that were acceptable. In fact, he even accepted unclean. They just needed to be redeemed before they were offered. Which we'll talk about at some point in this series, about how God redeems things and actually redeems your money. So, okay, so Abel's was accepted because of faith, not because of what was offered. So, faith, how could we figure out in this passage that Cain didn't give it by faith? Because it says in the passage that Cain gave his offering after a period of time. See, there's something else about the offering that we know. Abel gave the first. Cain gave when he got around to it. Has no mention of the description that it was first. See, the tithe is not just 10%. The tithe is the first 10%. So, for example, if I came and I had 10 $100 bills and they're stacked up, Daniel, and I gave you a stack of 10 $100 bills together, I just gave all of them to you at the same time, which one of those 10 or $100 bills, which one of them is the tithe? Which one? Is it the top one? Is it the bottom? Is it the one in the middle? Which one is it? The tithe is the first one that leaves your hand. It's the first. Thus, when you examine Abel's offering, it was the first. And what made him giving the first such an act of faith? He doesn't know if he's going to get a second or third or fourth. There's no guarantee that the lamb that gave him one is going to give him a second, a third, or fourth. See, the reason it was by faith was, one, it was first, and there was no guarantee in the natural that there's going to be a second. That's what makes the gift by faith. This is why the act of giving first to God is an act of faith. See, there are some people here today, you give your tithe to your mortgage company. And let me say this, it's not even your tithe. Do you know that you don't give your tithe? You bring your tithe. The tithe is God's. We're going to get into this later in the series, but in Exodus 13, it talks about the firstborn. It's his. The firstborn of everything is God's. And it says this is how you redeem that. That you don't have to offer that firstborn, but you can give an offering for it. And you can redeem it. But that's another sermon. But many people are giving their tithe to SRP, to Amazon, your car payment. Why are you giving your tithe, and why is it the tithe? Because it's the first. The first belongs to God. So here's the deal. As some here might be getting stirred up and a little irritated and angry that I'm talking about money. And I apologize for those that came for the baby dedications. We didn't plan that. I'm sorry. We don't preach on money that often, actually. But here's the deal. You're here for a reason, so just receive it. Don't get angry and become a Cain, okay? Don't be a Cain today. Be happy. And you can even disagree with me, okay? It's okay. You can even disagree. Just don't be angry, because then you're a Cain and you're just proving my point. Why do you get so worked up? Well, because the church is just all about money. It's just not true. At least not this church. And here's what's awesome is right now, we don't need more money. Like there's no motivation of, man, please, everybody start giving more because we need it. Listen, the tithers will keep tithing. My motivation in this moment, it's really freeing that I'm in a place that, like, come on, man, we need, pass the bag again because we need money for the lights. You know, like, let's keep going, right? No, like, no, we're blessed. We're blessed. It's pressed down, shaken together. We're blessing missionaries. We're sending money to Ukraine, okay? I mean, we are a blessed church. My motivation is I want everyone in that blessing. I want everyone to get free of the anxiety of money. And I promise you this, more money will not take away your anxiety about money. In fact, what I have found, many people, the more money they get, the more anxious they get. The more worried they get. I know that was a temptation for me. The more I got, I actually got a little bit more anxious, like, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to do the wrong thing with all this money. But the way you break that anxiety, the way you break that greed off of your money, is you tithe it. Then I'm free. Now, again, I'm listening to God with what He wants to do with the rest. It's all His. The scripture is very clear. It's all His. But this practice of tithing is a practice from Cain and Abel. Some Christians go, oh, that's the Old Testament. Oh, okay. Or that's the Old Testament, that's under the law. Well, tithing is pre-law. First of all, it's right here with Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4. And where did they learn how to tithe? Adam and Eve taught them how to tithe. So it was a part of Adam and Eve's life. I mean, where else would they have? I mean, their parents are to teach them, right? So some would say, okay, that's one example. Well, then we got the father of our faith, Abraham. He tithed. You're grafted into all the promises of God, and you're super excited about that, but then, oh yeah, but you know, that stuff, that tithing stuff, yeah, that's under the law. What? It's just ridiculous, you guys. And understand, Jesus, again, talked about money so much because He didn't want you to be deceived about it. He didn't want you to be slave to it. It controls you. It's powerful, you guys. Can we just be real? And let me also help you understand, when you don't have much of it, it's much easier to give than when you have a lot. Because I've done both. And it was much easier when I didn't have that much of it than to write a check that had lots of zeros behind it. Man, we live in a very uncertain world. I mean, I'm praying against the wars. I mean, it wasn't that long ago a country called Germany invaded a neighboring country that led to a world war, you guys. Saints, we need to get on our knees. We don't understand how fragile the world is. I mean, in 2007 and 8, I remember many people that I knew that had saved up, done the right things for 20, 30, 40 years, saving up for retirement, and they were told by their financial advisor that they could retire and have enough into well beyond their hundreds. And then 2007 and 8 happened, and guess what? Many of them found themselves taking part-time jobs at McDonald's. Because all of a sudden, overnight, they did the right thing. They invested. They did everything they were supposed to do. Yet, in a moment's time, it was gone. During this series, I'm going to talk about some investments that are fail-proof, recession-proof. You won't want to miss them. Church, we should not be afraid to handle money. Because God's given us the manual how to handle it. How to get free from the slavery of it. He wants lots of money to flow through you. Not just to you. Through you. You know, right now, we're being robbed every day. Your savings accounts, if you have money in your savings accounts, you're being robbed with something called inflation. Inflation robs people. The money you've saved is no longer worth as much as it was. It brings down nations. Church, do you recognize how much debt our country has? How little we care about the next generation, that we're passing on a burden of debt that is unthinkable. The world is so fragile right now. Whatever security you have in the money you have right now, man, you shouldn't find it there. It's a terrible place to find your security. I'm not afraid. I'm excited. I believe that song. The best is yet to come, baby. The best is yet to come. I'm full of so much joy, so much expectation, so much faith. I'm not worrisome, even though there is plenty to be worried of. Now, in my life, than never before of my life. In a moment, we could be in World War III. In a moment, you guys. But am I scared about it? No. God's on the throne. He's in control. He's got me. He's got you. I'm not afraid. I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious about it. I'm not saying there aren't moments that there can be anxiety, but I go to prayer. I cast my cares on Jesus. He is my strong tower. But if you're not in a relationship with Him right now, you should be freaking out. Really should. I mean, just have conversations right now with people and what's going on in the world, and that may lead to them coming to Jesus, because it is an insecure place right now. But here's what I found in the Bible. God's people, even in times of famine, are blessed. They're blessed. So it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter. I know He's going to provide because He promised it. Matthew 6, turn with me there. We all are familiar with it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are much more valuable than they." You are much more valuable than they. "Can any one of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life?" No, you can't, if you didn't know. Verse 28, "And why do you worry about your clothes?" You know, I was going to wear the three-piece suit today, but just I held back because I already knew that some of you would be struggling, like, "Oh, that just sounds like one of those prosperity preachers." And if I wore that three-piece, you know, that comes with it, it's actually in the back. It's hanging back there. But if I put that on, it would have just taken you over the edge for sure. Of like, "Oh, there's that prosperity preacher." Listen, I don't think I fall into that category, but for sure I can tell you this. I'm not a poverty preacher. Okay, I'm not that name it, claim it. We're not here, you know, trying to manipulate you to, you know, give a little bit more, you know, for, you know, the, you know, and play a video that's all, you know, showing poor people and all of this, or, you know what, give and you know what, and get your picture of your yacht, you know, so give and you'll get that yacht. Yeah. Right? No, we don't give to get. We give to give so that we can give more. That's our motivation. And if you are faithful with the little, guess what God said He'll do? He'll give you more. More not to keep, but to flow through you. Did look pretty good in the three-piece. But you couldn't handle it today. Okay, you just couldn't. All right, where was I? Clothes. I was, yeah, that got me on there. So, why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So how do you get rid of the anxiety that money brings? Or lack of money brings? Because both bring anxiety. More money brings anxiety, and less money brings anxiety. How do you get rid of it? You tithe. You seek first the kingdom of God. And you bring your tithes. Like I think I said earlier today, third service, so sometimes I'm not sure if I already said it or not, but you don't give your tithe. You bring your tithe. The tithe is God's. You bring it to Him. That act of the first redeems the rest. It breaks the curse off of your money. See, I don't believe, if you're a Christian here today and you don't tithe, I don't believe, even so some would, I don't believe you're cursed. Jesus became the curse. But I do believe your money is cursed until you tithe on it. You break the spirit of mammon off of money by tithing. How did God redeem us, you guys? In fact, let me say this. God is a tither. God tithes. And you know who God tithed? Jesus, his firstborn, His only begotten Son. Jesus was a tithe by God. He tithed His Son, His firstborn, to redeem all of us. See, this principle is much deeper than just money. God tithed His Son to redeem us. This is how you redeem your money. This is how you get your money blessed. In fact, I'm going to probably entitle one of our messages in the future, How to Money Launder. So tell all your friends and neighbors, Pastor's going to teach you how to launder your money today. Come on. I mean, come on. Money's dirty. All the hands that have been on it, I mean, come on. No, it has a spirit attached to it. And we'll get into that. Jesus taught about it. Jesus taught about the spirit of mammon. And He wanted you free of it. Amen? So don't worry. Be happy. Be blessed. And the way you do that is you give the first to Him. Now, here's the deal. Maybe you go, well, Pastor, I'm not in agreement. I don't think we're God's called us to tithe. And I'm feeling a little guilt or shame. And for sure, that's not what I want to do. These are not tools of God. God doesn't use guilt and shame. Okay? Those are tools of the devil. If anything, I'd like you to be convicted if what I'm saying is true. But search the scriptures for yourself, okay? I'm giving them to you. Search the scriptures for yourself. But let me encourage you, go with wanting to find the truth and not what you want to hear. Because you can find what you want in the scriptures anytime you want. This is why there's so many cults. This is why there's so many abuses. I encourage you, in fact, I implore you to always check the scriptures and what I'm saying. Go deeper, dig it. But go with the attitude of, I want to know the truth. And maybe you're here, and I'm going to say this. I do tithe. I give the first to God, but I give part of it over here and part there. And there's these ministries I give to. And you know what? That's awesome. I'm glad you do it. But I don't believe that's where the tithe goes. The tithe goes to the church, to the storehouse. In fact, what I've experienced, even people with nonprofits, I'm not saying the nonprofit has to tithe to the church, but you do. And what I have found with a lot of people that lead law profits, they try to give their tithe to their nonprofit. And what I've experienced, and it's just my experience, those nonprofits are always struggling. They're always struggling. Because that's not where God said to bring your tithe. You know, Julie and I, we were missionaries to the campus for years. And we would raise support from people to support us so we could be a missionary on the college campuses and around the world. And there were several times Julie and I would be doing a presentation and people would go, man, we love you, we're going to support you. And then they looked at each other and said, we can give part of our tithe to you guys. We'll just direct some of our tithe to you. And it was going to be a lot of money. And by the grace of God, it was never a temptation because I knew where the tithe belonged. And I said, I'm so blessed that you guys want to support us, but I can't take your tithe. That has to go to your local church. And we turned away lots of money because of this conviction. Now, that sure seems to work out good for you, Pastor Mike, you know, telling everybody you got to give to the church. Listen, we have more than enough. Just keep giving. If you don't believe that, then just ask God, okay? I'm going to give you scriptures. These aren't my opinions. The tithe, the whole tithe comes to the storehouse. It's God's. You bring it. You're not even giving it. You're bringing it. Worshiping God with it. Okay? And so, I want to also say this. So none of you feel like uncomfortable when I look out at you. I don't know if you tithe or you don't. Julie and I have made a decision not to see the records. Not because I don't think we could handle it, because I don't think I would treat anybody different. I really don't. But I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I don't want you to think for a moment, oh, they looked at me, treated me, he walked by me, didn't talk to me because I'm a non-tither. That's not us, church. I'm telling you this stuff because I believe it, and it would just be wrong of me not to share what I believe is true from the Word of God. Okay, that's it. I haven't gotten this 100% approved yet. I have an elders meeting tomorrow. I'm going to attempt it. I didn't share it with others, not to put our, you know, elders on the spot. You know, but this is what I just felt. I believe this so much. I believe the Word of God so strongly about this that I thought, this is what I'm going to ask them. I probably shouldn't do this, but are we streaming this? We are streaming this. All right, so I'm not going to do it. But next week, maybe, or the week after, I'm going to share, hopefully, something that the elders approved. See, I'm a man under authority, too, okay? So, sorry to go on that little tangent, and now I got you like, what is it? I think it's pretty awesome, and hopefully I'll be sharing it, and if not, you won't even know, because it just won't come about. So, hallelujah. I'm grateful that you all are staying on watching as I talk about Money Matters, but come back for that part or not that part next week or the week after. Okay, where was I? I'm going to try to land this plane. I'm going to land it. Here we go. We got some babies to dedicate. Come on, hallelujah. So, I'm pretty confident that my motivation today is clean. Whether you tithe or give or not does not determine the size of my house or a new car or not or a new suit. Like, we have a team that decides what I make. And we have plenty. Hallelujah. And those that you are tithing, you're going, yeah, come on, Pastor, I love this. And those that aren't, maybe you're like, maybe I want to step out in faith and do this. If not, this is what I would ask, okay? That you would go, God, when you get a check, when you get an increase of any kind, that you would take that and you would at least go, God, what do you want? What do you want? And listen to him. And if you get two numbers, go with the higher one. Because it's definitely not the devil telling you to give the bigger one, okay? No kidding. Kind of. Okay. But seriously, just worship God with your money. Worship him. And don't get up all tight. Guys, it's free. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt here. Okay? You go before God. If he tells you to give less, then fine. Just give it cheerfully and in faith. Because one thing for certain today that we know from the scriptures is that Abel's offering was accepted because it was by faith. So give by faith. Whatever it is the Lord's telling you to do. Amen? You okay? Everybody okay? Man, you don't know how badly I want you guys to all like me all the time. But I love you more than my desire to like be liked. I'm going to end with a prayer. This was a prayer that my dad, when I was 10 or 12 years old, further I get away from it, I can't remember, but I first job I had outside of chores was a paper route. And I got paid once a month. And my dad got saved. He got born again about a year and a half before I got my paper route. And right away, my dad started to tithe. And my dad would prepare his tithe during the week when he got paid, and he'd write a check out, and he'd put it in an envelope, and he prayed a prayer over that envelope. And then he brought it to church that Sunday. When I got my job and I got paid, my dad sat me down and he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a tithe out of that. And I'm like, a tithe? That's a lot of video games and candy bars. And when you get it once a month, it's more than once a week, right? It would have been easier if I got paid every week, but it was once a month and it was a bigger amount. And then he took another, 10% and he put it into savings because you should pay yourself next, right? That's Dave Ramsey approved, okay? It would pay yourself second, right? I mean, first God, then yourself. And then I was left with him. There's a lot of money gone. But we would take the tithe and we put it in an envelope. He had an envelope and I had an envelope. And this is the kind of prayer my dad and I prayed. And I have this memory of sitting on the edge of my dad's bed. And we prayed this together over our offerings, over our tithe. And so I want to close up with this. And we'll put this online. If you want it, you can come up with your own. But I encourage you to pray over your offering. It goes like this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak your word over my finances. This day, I have worshipped you with my tithes and offerings. Now I believe the windows of heaven's blessings are released over my life. I now receive doors of opportunity opening for me and my family. I have given, therefore, I shall never lack. I always have all sufficiency in all things as you are raising up others to use their power and ability and influence to help me. I believe daily for the Spirit of God to speak to others concerning me. Those whom the Spirit of God speaks to are free to obey and give to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I believe my every need is met with heaven's best. I thank you, Father, my need was supplied according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, I live in the best. I wear the best. I eat the best. I have access to heaven's best for me and my family. Father, your word says, my giving increases the fruit of my righteousness. I thank you for an abundance of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everything in that prayer was from the Word of God. I just prayed the Word of God over my offering and tithe. As I'm closing up, let me just humble myself. I made a commitment. I have an investment that's paying me every week. And it's paying me pretty good. It's exciting. And during the greater harvest, God challenged me and asked me to give every week that I got paid, the whole thing, not a tithe from it, the entire payment for the next 10 months during the greater harvest. Hallelujah. I'm hoping it's a ton of money. And so far it has been a good amount of money, but I let 6 weeks go by without giving it. Now in my heart, I've already given it. But what I felt was that God wants me to be more connected to my giving. See, our giving set, we have it go out. It's the first thing. It's the first check that leaves our bank accounts. And if it's not officially, it's about the heart. It's not legalism. It's a decision of the heart. And so the same is true about the 6 weeks. He's getting it. I have not broken that commitment. I just haven't done it yet. But I want to do it the moment it comes. I want to be anticipating that moment to be able to give cheerfully. And my hope is it's a lot. And a lot more every week, right? And I know we can get distracted. But it's important that we worship God with our finances. Because our finances represent our life. You had to give blood and sweat and hard work to get it. So when the offering bag's coming by, you know what you're kind of doing? You're stepping inside of it going, God, I'm yours. My life is yours. And I'm putting my trust in you for all of the increase and meeting all of my needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And so you can see the pressure of, oh, Pastor, you're going to talk about that. People are going to be uncomfortable. I know. I know you will. But hopefully you feel compassion. Hopefully you feel care. Because I do care. And that's why I'm sharing it. And that's why we're going to talk about it. Because I want us free from this terrible spirit of mammon. Because it produces so much anxiety, so much fear, and it leads to terrible actions. Cain actually killed his brother because of this. Listen, even if you disagree with me, don't get angry. Because you're just fully proving my point. And not mine, but the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are generous, that you are an amazing provider. You provide the seed that we can give. And so, God, we just thank you that you gave your son. You tithe your son for us. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know what it is and feels like to be fully forgiven, to be God's son or daughter, today you can know him. Today you can receive this gift. that's free to you but costs God everything. And if you're here and you say, I want to receive that gift, would you lift up your hands because I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, look at these hands. Lord, they're surrendering to you. Lord, pour out your generosity and your gift of salvation and your provision to them, Lord. Would you all pray this one and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you, my whole life, everything. And I receive your love and your forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.